adjustment meeting for June 4th, 2024. And the meeting's being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chairperson, then state your name and residence. And we will do roll call.
Mike.
Fred.
Don.
Bob.
Gary.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda? We do have a public hearing tonight, and I'll turn that over to Mike.
Okay, so the public hearing tonight is B-01-24 to expand a pre-existing dwelling by adding a second story, 134 square foot deck addition, and a 652 square foot entryway addition, all within the ordinary high water level setback. The property address is 16886 North Eagle Lake Road, and the property owners and applicants are Laura and Peter Sandahl. Sandahl. So with that, Justin?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Planning Commission members. As the chair said, I missed that. What? Are you the chair now? I missed that part.
No.
Sorry.
I just said he asked to start participating.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, fair enough.
He's the vice chair.
Vice chair, very good. Thank you. So for this public hearing here tonight, we did notify all neighboring property owners within 350 feet of the variance request and the public hearing. And then we also published the notice in the local newspaper. So this is really a three-part variance, and I'll try to go through this slowly so we get it all. There's a couple things. I had a couple questions from Planning Commission members regarding the sizes of the additions and what's allowed, what's not allowed. So I'll try to go through this slowly. But really, it's a three-part variance. The first part is to construct a deck on the lakeside of this pre-existing dwelling. Second part is to construct an entryway on the east side, which is the off-lake side of this pre-existing dwelling. And the third part is to construct an additional story on top of the existing pre-existing dwelling. So Jess, if you could go to page 9 of the staff report just to get an idea of what the pre-existing dwelling looks like. So these are photos that were taken by the county assessor. I did go out there last fall we were out there, and I didn't take photos at that time. I haven't been out there since. But
it hasn't changed.
Okay, good. These are from the county assessor. You can see it's really a two-story walk-up. There's a ground level, basement, and then one story above that. So we call that a two-story walkout. They're proposing to add a third story on top, as well as put decking on the existing pergola there on the, it's the south side of the dwelling. You can see it on the right side of the house there on the lake side on the top photo. And then in the rear there is the entry from the street they're proposing to construct. What I noticed as a, when I say noticed in the notifications, I listed it as a 652 square foot entryway addition, and I got some questions on that. I think I emailed the Planning Commission a clarification on that. That was taken from the survey. They state that the proposed covered entry is 652 square feet. According to the floor plan, it's actually a 6x8 entryway addition, so it's 48 square feet. Luckily, we noticed it in the applicant's favor, bigger, so we don't have to go through that whole thing again. But the request is for a 6x8 entryway addition on that off-lake side. So now, if you could go to the survey. Zoom out a little. Maybe?
Yeah, I can.
Perfect. Okay, so the property is on Eagle Lake, which is a recreational development lake. The pre-existing dwelling is 890 square feet. It's located, if you measure from the existing deck, 38 feet from the ordinary high water level of Eagle Lake. 100 feet is required. You can see on the east side of the dwelling, the dashed line is the building envelope. It's very small. It's there. It's kind of in that horseshoe driveway area, but that is the location of the building envelope. The septic system is located northeast of the dwelling. You can see some PVC pipes identified on the survey. And then this property also contains a bluff on both the north and south side of the dwelling. And then we have a bluff setback of 30 feet. So none of the improvements are proposed to be constructed within that bluff setback area, but it's just something to note that that is another limitation with the lot, is the location of the bluffs. So with the proposed deck addition, it's 8.9 feet by 15 feet, so 134 square feet approximately. I talked this over with the DNR area hydrologist. They're actually allowed a 7.9 foot addition. So there's this Minnesota rule that allows a 15% expansion into the lake setback to pre-existing dwellings. So I have this in the findings. So the dwelling is located 52.9 feet from the ordinary high water level. You multiply that by 15%, gives you 7.9 feet. So the really the deck variance is just 1 foot from 7.9 feet, which is allowed, to 8.9 feet. And so that's in finding number six, the calculation with that one. Another thing to note is the building height, and I reference this in the conditions. They did provide a drawing of the proposed building height. The way the city's definition reads is basically the height of a building is measured at the lowest point of either the lowest adjoining ground level, which is the walkout, or 10 feet above that point. So that's your starting point, is either 10 feet above that lowest adjoining ground level or at the highest adjoining ground level of the building. So in this case, the bottom measurement starts at the, I believe, the walkout. So if you go to, I don't know if this one's in there. You got it on, it's sheet A1. It'll be the bottom right elevation drawing. They're showing 29 and a half feet to the peak from the bottom of the walkout. So that's from the bottom of the walkout to the peak is 29 and a half feet. Per the definition in the city's code, the height is actually measured from that to the midpoint between the peak and the eaves. So if this is a one-story walkout, clearly it's going to meet that 25-foot height requirement. This is getting very, very close to that maximum height requirement. I did talk to the builder, Mike, who maybe can elaborate a little bit on how that can be adjusted. But it sounds like from the quick calculation we did before the meeting, it looked like they might be at 4 to 6 inches over that maximum height with as proposed here. So another thing to consider. And then finally, regarding this entryway addition, it's on the off-lake side. As I said, I noticed it at 652 square feet. It's 6 by 8, so 48 square feet on the east side of the dwelling. And that is the third part of the variance request. The proposed impervious they have on here, 10.2%, 15% coverage is allowed in the shoreline residential zone on properties adjacent to a recreational development lake. That's going to be a little bit lower if we factor in that 48 square feet instead of the 652 square feet on the survey. So impervious is not a concern. As we're going through the findings, I think that we should reference all three parts of the variance request, or you can reference the application as a whole. You can choose, if you wish, to approve certain parts of the variance request and not others. So if you want to approve, say, the second story addition or an entryway, you can do that, or third story, and not the deck, that would be fine, but you have to prepare findings to support that decision specifically. So if the Planning Commission does decide to approve it, we have three recommended conditions. One is regarding the building height. We're asking for a drawing from an architect showing exactly how they've determined the height of the building as it pertains to the city's definition of building height. Number two is regarding the stormwater management plan. The third one is regarding a revegetation plan. And I would like to get some more specifics from the Planning Commission as to what you'd want to see in that plan. Since they're proposing to go up with the structure, you know, it's going to be more visible from the lake. So this would be your opportunity to add conditions to sort of mitigate some of that as viewed from the lake. This would be an opportunity to do that. Add some maybe significant type trees planted in there or something like that. I did send this to the DNR area hydrologist. We had probably a half-hour conversation regarding it, and he had no major concerns with it. He did mention the aesthetics from the leak and how that could change. But really, he said, you know, they're not increasing impervious. It's a pre-existing structure. There's plenty of constraints with the lot. He also had questions on the building height, which I wasn't able to answer at the time. And then have not received any comments from any neighboring property owners or anyone from the public. So with that, kind of a lot, and I skipped around, but I'll take any questions.
So I have a question. So with this stormwater mediation plan, do you have suggestions for the homeowner as to what should be put in place, or just wait for that to come back?
So the ordinance does have requirements for the level of storm event to be captured on site, and it's very minimal. You could go above and beyond. I think it's like 1.1 inches or something like that of rainwater, which is like the state minimum. But yeah, and ideas for stormwater management would be, you know, potentially gutters directed towards, you know, maybe like a rain garden or something like that, not directed just directly towards the lake. Okay. But generally, we've used that same condition before, and we've asked you know, applicants to provide a plan to the city, and then as long as it meets your requirements, we would approve it. But French drain would be an option, things like that, a swale potentially. Sure. On the lakeside. Yeah.
Currently, the gutters on both sides are directed towards the lake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this would be an opportunity.
We want it other direction, which...
I mean, yeah, eventually it's going to flow downhill, obviously, so yeah. If you can capture that and manage it before it gets down there. And also, it's if you go back to the picture, Jess, it's fairly wide open. The area right in front of the dwelling, there's not a whole lot of, the top photo, a lot of, you know, there's a couple trees there, but it's far beyond what's allowed currently under code. We allow a 15-foot wide clear cut down to the lake. Outside of that has to be 75% in a natural state. So, I mean, this is, how wide is that? Like, you know, I don't know. 80 feet, 75 feet, something like that. Essentially clear cut. I mean, there's some grasses there and things, but no trees or shrubs or any sort of woody vegetation there. So.
Well, just to add to that comment, Justin, you and I talked about it. We have an example where we did some addition or some improvements to our place, and we had to put a stormwater management system in place for a new entry we put in. Mm-hmm. And in that case, we didn't donate the gutters on the house, but it comes down to kind of a river rock decorative valley, but I mean, it's purposeful. It comes down to a in-ground cistern that's however deep it is, 6 or 8 feet, and it has rocks in it. And that took care of any excess water. The reason I bring it up is because it's not away from the house. Mm-hmm. It happens to be alongside of it or even in front of it a little bit. So it seems like That's one good way to deal with it.
Yeah, a lot of that, we did one in Crosby. I think it was like an 8-foot cistern, French drain type thing, but there no water surfaces because it all just dissipates into the ground once it gets on that little flow of rock. Right. I think they put filter fabric in there as well, but yeah, that would be an option for sure. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or discussion?
I've got another comment. It seems like that, you know, maybe the thing that's the biggest concern in my mind, and I think from your comments, is that the cabin itself is 38 feet from the lake shore. I think the house is with the deck, and the house is 52 feet back. So that's, you know, semi-close. But the bigger concern, I think, is that the front has been kind of clear cut. So it's wide open in front. So it's the aesthetics of a two-story house on top of a walkout on that lot from the lake. So I think the comment about vegetation is a good way to buffer it, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see that as one of the conditions. It's a great chance, and I'm not sure what the homeowner's thinking in terms of landscaping, but this could easily be part of a landscaping plan and look pretty nice.
Any other comments? If not, we'll open it up to public comments. Applicant? Ed,
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
We are getting a question.
I got it on the eye.
There are a list of questions on the application that it's called the written responses to prepare and discuss the following. Seven items. Can you pull that page up? There you go. The only question I had is under number six. And it says, what other options, either conforming or non-conforming, have been considered, and why were these options not chosen? And the answer is the entire dwelling would be remodeled within the existing structure. So you made a statement, but you didn't really answer the question. Why didn't you consider remodeling instead of asking for what you're doing?
Well, I can probably answer that a little bit, but they want more square footage to where, when I look at this, it's like just going into the bulk on each side, so that's, you know, definitely some stuff you do not want to go into. Just such a small lot, and so they need more square footage, and I just kind of brought this up in the second story, which to me helps because you're not adding impervious at all. We're also not disturbing the ground much, you know, it's going to be in addition, you know, so all the vegetation will remain in place as much as possible, you know, unless we do a spillway or, you know, some type of landscape. So you remodel a place, but that doesn't get you more square footage.
No,
and the other thing is that
was the other option here that you proposed, and you didn't really answer the question.
The other piece of it too, one of the reasons why we prefer the add-on and the more square footage, as Mike mentions, is I work from home, so I need an office, and my son also works from home, and he needs an office, so there's a little, and we have family that comes to visit, or that's planning to come to visit. We're new in the space. So to have the opportunity to have more room and more space, we can't really get it to the level of what we'd like to get it to within the existing space. Okay. And we have to, the stairs right now are super steep. That's probably a technical term, super steep. So we want, that's another issue that we really need to fix, because it's very difficult to go up and down, especially if you have big feet or with a baby. My daughter's a baby, grandbaby. So we need to fix that. So we've got to reroute the stairs, and there's a bunch of things that we need to do. And I think having more square footage will enable us to do that.
That's all.
Yeah. Any other public comments, I guess?
I'll just add that I'm really grateful to be here. It's been our dream to come up here and to have a place. We've been coming here for years and years and years. We have friends who are on the lake. And when we spotted this one, they actually spotted it from the lake and told us about it, we jumped on it, because this does give us an opportunity to be here all summer. And also have family and gather our family. We used to live in Twin Cities. We still live at home because of my job, took me to South Florida. So this is really bringing us back home to Minnesota. So very grateful for your consideration and excited to be part of the community. And to Mike's question about landscape and make sure that it's attractive, that is definitely something that is important to us. I grew up in a kind of summer community outside of Chicago, and we always hated it when people from Chicago came there and ruined, you know, homes and built big monstrosities. That is not at all what we want to do. We want to make sure it fits in. We want to make sure that our neighbors still love us. And we want to make sure that it's a place that we'll live in and enjoy for the rest of our time.
So, Justin, I'm just kind of curious if there was some discussion about some other way that this could be done, that it wouldn't be as high as it is. But would that be like have dormers rather than a full, no?
Do you want to touch on that, Mike?
So you're talking about, well, just that, we might be about 4 to 6 inches above the code for the city ordinance for how high it is.
Yeah.
So you're talking about that number of inches, or trying to bring it down like 5 or 10 feet?
Inches.
No, just inches.
Oh, yeah, we can do that easily. We could either drop the roof, go from a 412 to a 312, or change to see if we can get some different engineered floor trusses, but yeah, to drop that amount is very, we can do that.
Okay.
I'm a little confused about if you come up 10 feet from the lowest point,
yeah,
and then you're allowed to go 25 feet above that, right?
Mm-hmm, to the midpoint.
And it looks to me like
I think we'd be way under that if you
don't measure to the peak, you measure it to the midpoint. So I think there's plenty of room.
So this is a good opportunity to review, because this does get confusing, and a lot of cities define building height like this, but on page 12 of the staff report, we have the definition of height of a building, and it's the vertical distance between the highest adjoining ground level at the building, so the highest adjoining ground level at the building, or 10 feet above the lowest adjoining ground level, whichever of those two is lower.
And it would be 10 feet in this case, I believe.
Okay. And then the highest point of a flat roof or average height of the highest gable of a pitched or hipped roof. So then we have a diagram.
You're actually talking about going up to the peak, not to the midpoint. So I don't think there's an issue here at all.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, the diagram shows the gutter level to the peak, and then there's a midpoint.
You're right, yep.
So that's just an example, and it's confusing that there's a higher peak there, so to speak. But it's,
well, they took the high peak into consideration on that drawing for our, where were that, yep.
Highest,
yeah. They took the high peak into consideration. They took the midpoint between
highest gable,
the gutter, if you want to call it, or the eave, mm-hmm. the very highest peak.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where they came up with their height of the building. I think they got
they're under.
No issue here in my mind.
Yep, you're right. I was measuring. See?
Because you're going off the base of the walkout.
Yeah.
We need to start 10 feet above that.
Or the highest.
So we're only, yeah. That's what I was confused earlier when we were going over that day.
And the only other.
I don't think they're even close to the height requirement. For,
no.
Good, so it won't be an issue.
That shouldn't be an issue. Page 8.
Yeah.
I don't want to be nitpicking your ability to go.
Yep.
You're calling the existing two-story walkout dwelling. This, in my definition, is a one-story
walkout,
not a two-story walkout.
Right.
So the issue with, in my mind, is with the height is no problem at all. That's all.
I guess maybe one other comment, and it goes back to the aesthetics from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it seems like there's semi-agreement here about vegetation to buffer that. Another discussion that's been had is architecturally to try to soften the way that the lines are on the house with whatever architects do to not just have a block. It's just one of those places. I mean, when we live on these lakes, we take pontoons by these places all the time, and you go, well, that's a pretty, there's some landscaping that's going to have to be done at some point, and there's opportunity to make it look beautiful. So I would just say that that's another thing to consider. Don, is that how you describe it, that architects can soften the...
I totally agree with that statement, but I don't know if it's appropriate for us to tell them what's good architecture and what isn't. That's subjective.
Good point. So maybe it's just a comment to hope that they...
I agree that landscaping, trees, you know, anything to soften the area would be fantastic. I don't, what do you think, Justin? Is it our point to talk about softening the structure appearance? I'm not sure that's correct.
It depends. I mean, some communities do get to that level of review where they'll require the Planning Commission to review architectural design of a building. Like, they'll say, we'll approve this, but we want to approve what it looks like. Okay. And I think that would be okay. I guess I could, you know.
Well, let me, if I could interrupt. Yeah. Let me just interrupt and say, the comment I'm making here isn't to suggest that we should do a review. It's just to suggest that I hope that it's considered, because it's an opportunity to soften up also just the architectural needs.
Yep.
And not to make it a requirement that we would review.
So I would just like that when you create conditions, there has to be a nexus, they call it, between the variance request and the condition. So in this case, you'd say, well, this thing is going to go up another story. It's, you know, 40 feet from the lake. It's going to be highly visible. So we want to have a certain design so that it blends in more to address the aesthetics of it. And that would be, in my opinion, okay to require that. So you could say things like, you know, this has to be designed with, or it has to be like dark green. You could have a color even if you want it. It might be going a little too far. But
that's too far.
Okay, just an example of, yeah.
And just wait.
Well, it might be something they can do, you know, once they actually get the drawings done, and these are preliminary. Next step they would do is get them drawn, but I think maybe, you know, a lot of the deck kind of gives it some character. Maybe between the deck story you could do, you know, like a simple eyebrow roof across there, just so it's, like you said, not just a big block.
Right.
Yes, between windows, some different sidings. Just, yeah. I mean, obviously they're not going to be doing pink or neon green or anything, so.
Perhaps even just a little vegetation on the front there would help soften the area.
Because
that is going to get up there pretty good.
Vegetation, I think, is the answer. I can see some nice, you know, 20-foot trees brought in. Spruce trees or something that's not just Norway, with just tops on them that have vegetation.
Okay.
Any other public comments? Now we'll close the public comments. Any other discussion, I guess, between the commission?
Sure. So the first six are regarding the application itself and the request. Do you want me to read through those?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So starting with number seven, I guess that's sort of not applicable. Okay, it says that the applicants have not provided the proposed height of the building based on the city's definition. And I think we could just state that the request, the proposed addition, meets the maximum building height requirement. And then number eight, the DNR has been notified of the request, and I'd like to change that one to say, and has not provided any comments. No comments were received other than my conversation with him. No comments were received. Number nine, will the granting of the variance, and again, this is three parts, the deck, the entryway, and the second story addition, will granting the variance put the property to use in a reasonable manner not permitted by the zoning ordinance?
Are we going to do these in three steps then? Is that what you're saying? Or can you, we just do it in one motion?
You could, if it applies to all three, you could create a finding for all three. If there's a certain part of the variance request that doesn't meet something in here, then that should be a separate finding.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So we want to do it.
I think it should be combined, unless you see something.
No, it's fine with me.
I think we'll combine it. Combine.
Yep. Yep. So.
So yes.
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 Okay. Yes, sorry.
I need more than that. So how is the property being put to use in a reasonable manner that's not permitted by the zoning ordinance? So the zoning ordinance doesn't allow these additions because they're within the lake setback. How is this being put to use in a reasonable manner?
Well, they don't have an option with the bluffs to build outward, and they need more square footage. 890 square foot is not a huge envelope for a family. It's a reasonable option.
Should we add something about that it's going to remain a single family dwelling? They're not adding this for like a secondary dwelling unit,
right,
or yeah, something that's okay. I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Okay. So my answer is yes to number 10.
Okay. On number 10, mm-hmm, does the property have unique circumstances that were not created by the landowner?
That's an interesting you were talking about.
Or... Yes, because it was built probably prior to any of the zoning ordinances that are in effect today.
Okay, I heard two yeses.
Yes.
Three,
yes.
Four. Okay. Number 11, if the variance is granted, will the essential character of the locality remain consistent? And then I have yes and no there.
So, I would say yes, just especially by including these conditions for vegetation. In that manner, the character will stay the same or even be enhanced.
Yes.
And yes.
Okay, so we have yes. The requested conditions of constructing the additions will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The improvements will be visible from the lake and right-of-way. However, the proposed size of the dwelling, deck, and entryway is consistent with other dwellings in the vicinity of the subject property. That sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 12, will the variance, if granted, be consistent with the comprehensive plan and be in harmony with the purpose and intent of the City of 50 Lakes ordinances? And we have yes, the request with conditions is consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance and the following goal in the comprehensive plan, and that's to preserve the natural character and environmental quality of the lakeshore and still allow reasonable use for property owners and the public. Or no, the request is not consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance. The required structure setback is 100 feet. The subject property has adequate area to construct a similar sized dwelling within the building envelope.
The answer is yes.
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 Okay, and the last one, 13, has the variance request been made based on reasons other than economic considerations alone? Then we have yes, the request has been made on factors other than economic considerations, and I think that's pretty clear. Does everyone agree? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so everything's been answered in the affirmative for the entire variance request. Now, is the time to discuss potential conditions of approval. The first one is regarding the building height, and we can probably strike it. I think we've established that it meets the maximum height requirement. Does everyone agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Take that off.
And number two, a stormwater management, which will become number one, a stormwater management plan, which includes gutters on the west side of the dwelling submitted prior to land use permit approval. Stormwater shall be directed to rain gardens and or swales. The stormwater management plan shall be reviewed and approved by the zoning administrator and shall be implemented in full within 1 month after completion of the project. If you look at section 8, you probably don't have the zoning ordinance in front of you, but 8.04, it states this, 8.05, states a requirement that stormwater management plans be prepared by either Crow Wing Soil and Water Conservation District or by a professional engineer, and they require for the permanent on-site treatment of 1 inch of stormwater runoff, which is a very small amount. but that's the minimum requirement. I think in PCA is 1.1 inches, but here in our ordinance, it's 1 inch.
Could we add to what you just said, that either Crow Wing County or who else, can we add that to the conditions to make it clear who needs to do that?
Number two, yeah, we could just reference the ordinance section that it needs to be prepared in accordance with the requirements of the zoning ordinance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is everyone good with that?
Yep.
So just so I'm clear on this. Mm-hmm. So it has to meet the requirements of that ordinance or that standard. But does it mean that the design has to be done by one of these departments or?
Yes.
In the ordinance, it requires that it be prepared by either Crow Wing Soil and Water Conservation District, who had this come up with another project, and they call them and they're like, can't do it because they're too busy, apparently. So they have to hire an engineer to do the plan.
Okay.
It's not just pertaining to the proposed improvements, it applies to the entire site. So when they prepare the plan, they're taking into consideration the driveway, you know, the whole thing. It's not just the improvements. This requires 1 inch of treatment for the entire property.
Okay. Because really, probably all of the drainage now, or a good portion, is just going straight down
mm-hmm.
that slope in the front of their house.
Right.
So does Soil and Water have recommendations from other professional people to hire or to do that?
I'm not sure. We as a city don't make recommendations, so I'm guessing they don't either, but for private companies.
Sure, there's landscapers out there that probably do it.
They might have a list or something of people that have requested to be on it, but.
They do a physical submission. It's not just words, it's a drawing.
Right, yeah.
So whether it doesn't really matter as long as they follow what their direction is and you approve what they submit.
Right, yep. Okay, and then the third one is regarding the...
Oh, Justin, will we have to approve the landscape plan? Or are we just going to assume it's better than what they have?
So I would review it. If you as a planning commission want to review it, you're more than welcome. We can take it back to another meeting and same with the landscape plan.
I'm comfortable with you reviewing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions on the stormwater management plan? And then number three is regarding the revegetation plan. So a revegetation plan meeting the requirements of section 8.04 and 8.05 shall be submitted prior to land use permit approval. The plan shall be implemented upon completion of construction. There's not a whole lot of requirements in, so basically the ordinance says what you can take away from like a natural lot. You can remove up to 15 foot wide clear cut down to the lake. You're allowed a 50 foot wide view corridor. Within that view corridor, you can remove 25% of the vegetation. It doesn't say what you have to put back in if you don't meet that requirement. So I would like the Planning Commission, if possible, to be specific in terms of what you would like to see in a landscape plan, like number of trees, how high do you want the trees to be? I mean, I've seen just saplings be planted and they usually get mowed over or they don't survive, especially if you only require a few of them. So if you want to require some more significant trees, I think Don mentioned like 20 feet might be a little big, but you
that seems
it could. The standard height would be, you know, like for, I think 6 to 8 for conifers is kind of a more
significant
tree.
Typical, like a bald and burlap tree. So I think those are typically usually about 6 or 8 feet tall.
How much is soil in the 804 and the 805? Really, it's giving you the authority. We're just stating this to the ordinance here. We're not giving the number of trees and where they are. That's up to you, I guess, the way it's written.
Yeah. So I mean, it's subjective. So when I go out to properties, you know, I meet with property owners and they want to establish a view corridor. I don't count every single tree within a 50-foot wide view corridor. I say, all right, put some tape around the trees that you want to cut, and maybe it's 3, maybe it's 4, maybe it's 5, but it's a judgment call. Same with the like woody, brushy vegetation. I don't know how to calculate 25% removal of that. So I tell them to establish where their view corridor is, 15 feet wide, and then outside of that, they can remove, like I said, 25%. So I'm asking you,
that's not the issue.
How many trees do you think?
The issue here is we were asking them to add things
yes.
and not
yeah.
take things
right.
out. I feel perfectly comfortable leaving that decision to you with the discussion with them, but if we want to actually say how many trees and what size, we can do that too.
Go ahead.
Mike, I got a question. If the structure was established before the current law, what did the lot look like at that particular point? I mean, they didn't do anything. I assume they just bought this property.
Yes.
So maybe it was this way. And is it our position to, say, build a forest?
No.
I would say this would be our opportunity to address if there are concerns with aesthetics from the lake. We had a discussion on it. This would be your opportunity to address that via condition on the variance.
I think we should. Let's add some things back in. That's what I'm hearing from everybody else.
Well, I think so too, but you know, there's quite a difference in my mind between adding some vegetation here to
building a
forest. Well, to address the aesthetic issue of a two-story walkout, than there is to try to match what a 15-foot view corridor is.
And exactly.
So I don't think that that's the goal. We're not trying to repopulate this with adjustment to a primitive lot would be. It seems to me that you know, if from a planning commission standpoint, if we suggested a portion of it being, you know, maybe some rough number, 6 to 8 to 8 or 10 6-foot conifers, that at least we know that there's going to be some height there with some trees that will develop and look nice. That's not putting a whole landscape plan together. I mean, that's up to the landowner, I think, property owner, to decide how they want to architect this thing. But we're just trying to address softening up this two-story building that's going to go up.
And well, does that maybe require a landscaper to come in and do some kind of plan? I mean, I don't know that we really have the expertise to say that.
No, we don't know what we do either.
You know, the 8 or 10 trees and a couple of bushes.
Right.
What's needed.
So that's a good point. So maybe we just have them come back with a plan and...
Would the applicant be open to some kind of a landscaping plan, I guess?
Yeah, that's definitely...
One thing is, you know, instead of $7,000 an engineer, which sometimes you can't even get, you know, it might be something they could hand draw and also bring up that impervious stuff with your 1 inch of water. I know there's calculations that the county has on the worksheets that says, you know, how big a basin do you need for how big of an area you're draining? So
yeah.
A lot of that you don't necessarily need an engineer. It's, you know, your lot size or this area, and it needs a size basin or retention area, that type of stuff. So a lot of things, you know, maybe they can kind of do on their own if we can, you know, just follow the calculations from the county.
But these are two different discussions, I think. One is the stormwater mitigation plan.
But I think there's going to kind of put, like, landscaping, stormwater, to me, kind of go together. You know, you can't put a tree where you're going to put a
cistern.
Right.
So you kind of,
true.
They kind of go together to me. So you make the two work together.
True.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, Bob, there's definitely some things in there, too, that there's a really ugly concrete walkway back there that we talked about removing and figuring out what that would, you know, how to take that out and do some other things that look a little bit better than it does now.
Say, Justin, would that concrete walkway be a problem for funneling water towards the lake?
It would definitely contribute to runoff, so yeah, that would be... really helpful, yeah.
Yeah, so that would really help to do something different with that.
Mm-hmm. Something that's not completely impervious or can slow the water down.
That the way it is now creates a stream.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I'll agree with what you said that we're probably not equipped to say, well, it should be 6 trees or 8 trees or 12 trees or what types. So maybe what we should do is suggest that or have a condition that they put together a plan with a landscape architect and come back to Justin and say, here's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you assess whether you think it helps the aesthetics
mm-hmm.
that we're trying to address.
And if there's any questions, we can bring it back to the planning commission.
I like that.
I'm good with that.
So we're just going to add to this that the plan will be drawn by a landscape architect and submitted to you.
Yep.
And if you feel you want to bring it back to us, we can put that as a requirement in the condition.
Okay, yep.
Okay. So you take a look at it. If you're happy, that's good with me, but you've got the option if you're not real comfortable making a decision, bring it back to us and make that part of the condition.
Got it.
Okay.
Sounds good, yeah.
Because I think that's an important part of the whole equation here. Right?
Yeah, it is. I think it's an opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Any other? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we approve B-01-24 with the description that that entails with the three components and the conditions that we just outlined. And I'm not going to state what those are. Do you want to do that?
I think we're on two conditions, right?
Two conditions, yeah, regarding stormwater management and revegetation plan, okay. As discussed.
Yeah, as discussed.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Norm, we have a guest. Your chance.
What's that?
Learning day.
Pretty good. Well, this is hard to read. Approve the minutes from January 23rd, 2024. We never have that many months. No.
Makes sense.
I think the minutes look good. I'll make a motion to approve January 23, 2024 minutes.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. New business. Old business. Gary, council liaison report.
I really don't have much for you guys today. We haven't met for so long, and there's just not much going on.
But you can bring us up to date on what you've been doing about the council meeting.
Oh boy.
one was budgetary, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Yeah.
Tell us what's happening next door, that's what we really
want. Well, I'm kind of chomping at the bit to find out myself.
Justin, DNC Administrator's report.
Okay, I included a list of permits that have been issued. So far this year, we've done 14 land use permits and 3 SSTS permits, and then I also included a letter regarding the non-compliant septic system that came in. Any questions on any of that?
Bottom line, we're talking about the new construction that's replacing the burned out building on our road.
Yeah.
And he wanted to look at the plans because I think my understanding was you'd have to build on the same footprint, is that correct?
Not necessarily. If it's a non-conforming structure, you would have to build on the exact same footprint. They did have some space there. It was surveyed. I went up there and verified the stakes.
So they, as far as the setback, they're okay to do some.
They're, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like they actually went back and moved it further than they were. Mm-hmm.
So that was there.
Yep.
As long as they've got the setback. Both of not a bluff issue.
No. No, all that's on the survey, and it's, okay. If you want to see it, we got it.
No, I'm fine. We're having that discussion, and I just couldn't remember exactly if it's not conforming, yes, they have to stay right where they are. Mm-hmm. They have no use, or they move.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, Justin, on that non-conforming septic system, I think it's on North Eagle Lake Road.
Yes.
Was that identified with the sale of a property?
What was that?
I can't remember. I could look at the report. They put a reason for the compliance inspection report. So it's either for a permit or a property transfer, usually always the reason. So it's one of those two things.
Okay.
If you want to know for sure, we can check after the meeting.
It's not that big a deal.
But
it has to be brought up to code.
Yep, so they have 10 months, and we just got another one in actually too, but they have 10 months to upgrade the system for state rules and city ordinance.
Right.
Anybody have anything else?
Yes, nothing.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.